Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today we have debut author Rosie Dannon. Rosie wrote the latest rom-com, The Roommate, which is a forced proximity heaven. In this interview, we chat about her writing debut, her upcoming book, and some fun book recommendations. Before we get to today's interview, I want to share a bit about our sponsor. From Kensington Books, we have The Siren and The Deep Blue Sea by Curling Sparks. Here's the synopsis of the book. Four sisters have become queens. Rulers of the Arthurian two moons embrace. The last sister will forge her own path. Signs and seals. Raised in a magic sea isle of moon, Maeve is used to unusual powers and the way they feel the politics of her world. But when she discovers an ability to shapeshift at will, she knows that she wants to share with it first. Brody, the enigmatic, infuriating shifter spy, has always made time for Maeve. But it's been almost 2 months since she last seen him, and although no one believes her, Brody's in danger, and Maeve is more than ready to rescue him herself. The rumors of Brody's investigations are terrifying. A secret army of magic users in the service of the cruel Circle 5, but when he uncovers the identity of one of the five, the mission becomes personal. Cursed as a boy by the Sea Witch, Brody can spend only 2 hours a day in his human form, a restriction that limits his future and muscles his arts. Plus, Maeve teases him for being such a pretty doggie instead of appreciating his manly charms. To win his freedom, he must take on a durable disguise, and when Maeve finds out, she'll unleash a tempest like no other. This book sounds so good. You can purchase this book at your favorite bookseller. For more information and book recommendations, please visit KensingtonBooks.com. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Rosie. Welcome to the Watch Me Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a debut author. My first book is a contemporary romantic comedy, sometimes affectionately referred to as a rom-com in this case. Mm-hmm. It's called The Roommate, and it is about two unlikely roommates whose sizzling attraction inspires a plan to overthrow a porn empire. And it actually comes out in a little over 2 weeks on the 15th of September in both the US and the UK, which I'm really excited about because I'm actually an American expat living in the UK right now. So it's kind of nice to be able to have the book available in both of my two homes, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. So what inspired you to become a writer?
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about that, and I think I would consider myself a storyteller before I learned how to be a writer, in the sense that I've always told myself stories as a way to process the world around me, or, you know, sometimes to escape the world around me in times like these. And so writing was kind of a natural extension of taking those narratives that I found enjoyment in and putting them on paper, which was great because then, one, I could kind of learn from the stories in a new way, which I always think about as a part of my writing process, but also then I got to share them with other people. And that's been such an amazing experience to have early readers of The Roommate, for example, reach out and talk about what they took away from the book. Like, that's something you never get when you're just telling stories like to yourself or to your friends and stuff. So that's been really amazing. So I think of it as, yeah, just kind of an evolution of something that I innately did to, as a part of my way of like being a human, you know?
I love this. And so what was that journey to get The Roommate published?
I kind of joke that I sort of stumbled into it a little bit. In the sense that I very much viewed writing as a learning process originally, like any new hobby, you know, you have to start somewhere. And I don't know, I didn't really like think about being published for a long time in the beginning. But so yeah, I picked it up as a hobby. I was actually living and working in New York City at the time. And I know you were in New York City previously. Yeah. And so I'm sure, you know, like, it's just such a competitive environment, like, in every sense of the word.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So I wanted to have a hobby where there was like kind of no pressure to worry about that, which in hindsight kind of got away from me. But in the beginning, it was just something that I could do to let out creativity in a way that was, you know, completely my own, and I didn't owe anything to anyone. So I started that. And then I would say my publishing journey got a lot more serious when I applied to Pitch Wars. I don't know if everyone is familiar with Pitch Wars, so I'll just do like a little intro. It's a really awesome program. It's a mentorship program that pairs experienced writers with people who are seeking agents and more traditional representation. Mm-hmm. And so I had heard about that. I'd heard about that from some writer friends, and they had just mentioned that it was a really great opportunity to get some hands-on help with your work. And I was definitely at the point with my writing where I needed that. So I applied for the 2018 mentee class. And it was fortunate enough to get selected by a pair of mentors, Heather Van Fleet and Lana Sloan. And I worked with them for about 4 months. And it's interesting, the Pitch Wars process actually mimics the traditional publishing process in the sense that they do developmental edits, and then they do a set of line edits. And then at the end, there's an agent showcase where a small excerpt of your book is put up along with the whole rest of the class. So it was about, I think, 150 or so people in the Pitch Wars class. So you're a part of a showcase, and then agents who sign up are able to request additional materials if they're interested in your work. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of agents did request to see more of my book. And then quite shortly after that, my now agent, Jess Watterson, reached out with the call email where she wanted to talk about representation. And then I think coming out of Pitch Wars, the manuscript was quite polished because it had gone through such intensive workshopping. Mm-hmm. So we were able to go on submission to publishers quite quickly. And then about a month after being on submission, I got the offer from my now publisher, which my editor is Christine Schwartz at Berkeley. So it was a very like whirlwind journey where I kind of just thought I never had my eye like fully on the horizon. It was kind of like, I just want to learn how to be a better writer. That's why I'm going to sign up for Pitch Wars. But I think that that program, for not everyone, but for a fair amount of people, can kind of like kickstart you onto a publishing path. And so that was my journey.
That is fascinating. I love the reminder of New York being such a competitive place and having a hobby for no reason. That's why I started this podcast. It was like my hobby. I wanted to talk about books, you know?
Oh my gosh.
There was no reason for other than just want to have a conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like that is also so New Yorker of both of us that we like started a hobby, but now it's basically like a full-time side hustle. Yes. Like we can't help ourselves.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm so glad that you identify with that because it's 100% the same kind of thinking.
Yes, and I love the fact that you actually went through, it's such a hustle thing to look for programs to be a better writer. Like, it's like part of the mentality is like, okay, I'm going to take a class, or I'm going to pitch this, or I'm going to see this program. It's really neat. I'm going to do this. And then, you know, blah, like the process goes and you get yourself published, you know? So that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was a lot of, like lottery feelings in a way that I've never experienced, because you don't think you're going to get picked to be in the program and then you don't think you're going to get signed. So I've had in the last couple of years of my life like way more of those just like shock moments where you're like, how is this going on?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's amazing, and I love your book, so I'm excited to chat about it. So let's talk about your writing process. What was your writing process like? What do you like? Do you follow an outline or you're a pantser? Do you see where the story leads? Yeah.
So I would describe my writing process as very much like a work in progress. Like I mentioned, like with the first book, I didn't really take it very seriously. So for over a year, I would just write whatever, whenever I wanted. Like it was always kind of about the roommate. And I think I did have like a very rough sort of like post-it note outline. It's actually funny. I kept these post-it note outlines on my dresser in my apartment in New York that I shared with two other roommates. And I remember one time my roommate came in, she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I had a guest over and he wanted to see the apartment. I showed him, you know, just walked him through the rooms, and I walked him through your room, and he picked up a post-it note that said like blowjob question mark. And it was part of the outline. And I thought that was pretty funny. So, I know, I'm like, oh great. Your new boyfriend thinks that I'm doing out like research. I don't know, on blowjobs. I wasn't. But anyway, so yeah, I guess I'm more of a plotter for sure. I can identify to that much, but the first journey was just so exploratory. With the second book that I wrote, it was a little more clear cut. Like, I used a beat sheet, which I think a lot of plotters are familiar with, just like a souped up Excel document that let me kind of get pretty granular about the content of each of the scenes. Because one of the interesting things about romance, right, is that you have to balance so many different arcs, because you have like an individual arc for each of your main characters, and then you have an external conflict arc, and then you have a relationship arc as well. So I find plotting to be helpful because I'm very efficiency oriented. It is organization, but I'm always optimizing.
Yeah. And so how do you keep track of your ideas, inspirations, characters? Like, how do you keep track of them?
Yeah, I have a couple. I don't have a great system for this, I will admit. I think I've tried a lot of different things. So I do like a character worksheet as part of my early process. And I've also done the exercise where you kind of journal like in first person as the character to get to know them a bit, which can be helpful. As I mentioned with plotting, I tend to keep an Excel sheet, especially early on. I don't always update it throughout, but I don't know. I could definitely be more organized. I guess what's been helpful working with a traditional publisher is the copy editor keeps like a bit of a Bible for you. So that's actually been fascinating. Like, because it lays it all out, right? So it lays out like, here's every character, here's their traits and stuff. And sometimes when I'm reading through that during copy edits, I'm like, oh, I forgot that like so-and-so has like a bad knee or whatever. So that's helpful.
And so do the characters come to you, or do you develop them before the story? Like, do you discover new things about the character, or do you know from the get-go how the characters are going to be?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I know a fair amount about them before I start writing. I feel like I have to have a sense of their personality and their like behavioral impulses before I start writing for them, because otherwise I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know. For the roommate, for example, like, okay, if I put Josh and Claire in this situation, like, if I don't know their personalities, it would be, I think I'd just stare at a blank page, like not knowing how they would interact. So I tend to have like a pretty clear vision of the characters, and I'll spend time on that. Like, I go on a lot of long walks to think about stuff. And I'll make character playlists as part of my process. So that way, you know, obviously sometimes they might do something in a scene that is surprising, but I think, again, going back to my plotter nature, I'm usually like pretty clear what their trajectory will be over the course of the story.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's start with the roommate. What was the source of inspiration? You want to first meet somebody, you know, two different characters, take over porn industry, like.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I am a lifelong romance reader, like definitely came into the writing as an evolution of that. And I actually used to read way more historicals than contemporary. I'll be interested to see if you can, I'm going to tell you like kind of where this idea came out. And I'll be interested to see if like you can see this at all. Cause I know one reader definitely like mentioned that they did. But basically my favorite historical trope is lessons in seduction between like a rake and a blue stocking.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
But I knew I wanted to write a contemporary story and I wanted it to be, so that trope doesn't work in a contemporary setting because in that trope, the heroine doesn't have a lot of agency, right? She's just kind of learning about pleasure within the context of the hero and what he's teaching her and the way he's framing it for her. And I, you know, when I think about modern intimacy, successful modern intimacy, it's much more about individual agency. So for when I wanted, so I basically took those archetypes. So, you know, for the rake, who in a historical is maybe just somebody who's experienced and charming and whatever. And I think you can kind of see how that becomes a modern day adult performer. Like he has the experience, he has the charisma, he has a little bit of a stigma attached to him. Now that was something that was interesting to evolve because, you know, for a rake in most historicals that I've read, you know, maybe people give him a hard time, but he doesn't really have any trouble navigating the world because of his reputation. Whereas I knew, obviously, when I was going to write about adult performers, that there is very real stigma that does, you know, not only affect the way those people are perceived, but also can affect things like their livelihood and things like that. So that's kind of how I evolved that archetype. And then I think Clara is a much more linear evolution of the blue stocking archetype. Like you can see she's got her PhD in art history but has like very limited exposure to kind of like what sexual partners can do for her. But what I updated in the trope is that even though Josh encourages her to own her pleasure and kind of reminds her that she's should be treated a certain way, she is the one that's driving her journey of discovery. She's the one that comes with, I don't want to give up too many spoilers, but she very much like decides what she wants to do, pushes herself out of her comfort zone, and then tries to kind of help other people once she has become a little bit more educated. So yeah, it was kind of like, how do I take this historical trope and then update it for a modern setting and use it to tell a story about what I believe is healthy and exciting in modern intimacy?
It is. I think it was just fresh. It was like a new take on a topic that I wouldn't consider contemporary, and it just makes sense. Like, you know, how you take it on. So I love your take on, and I love how you update it to the sense of like, that it can happen, you know?
Thank you.
It can happen, you know, in today's society. So let's start with the porn industry. You know, what kind of research did you do just to get this part right? Like, there's a lot of conversations about, like, you know, the conglomerate, like how it works, and then just, you know, having Josh and Naomi and Clara basically trying to take over, like, try to, like, break down that barrier, you know?
I mean, obviously, sex workers in general and the porn industry specifically is a marginalized community. So I knew that when I decided to write about this, I would have to be, I'd have to do a lot of research in order to make sure that I was portraying it in an accurate and, you know, not accusatory way, which I think a lot of people can come into it in that way. So there was definitely some, like, even as I was doing the research, some like unlearning of my own biases. So I tried to use as many firsthand research as I could. So I listened to a lot of podcasts. I read a lot of books, collections of essays, watched some documentaries, like tried to get a very diverse portrayal of people's experiences. Because, you know, the industry treats people differently, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're white, etc. So I tried to make sure that I was looking at the marginalizations even within a marginalized population. And then I also, what was really important to my process was I worked with a subject matter expert, a sensitivity reader, who is an adult, a male adult performer, Lane Rogers, who was just phenomenal to work with. He was so excited about this project, and I just could not have imagined a better person to help me comb through and make sure that the details were accurate, that, you know, we were portraying everyone in a fair light, because it was never my intent to kind of place judgment on the industry one way or another. I think when I think about the porn industry, it's sort of like any industry in America where there's good things about it and there's bad things about it. And most people are kind of caught in somewhere in between. And I just wanted people to expand their perceptions a bit is what one of my goals with the book. So yeah, it was both firsthand research, but then also obviously working with people who had the lived experiences that I didn't.
I love this. And so I have a couple questions from the Patreon community. They want to chat about the cover. What are some of your thoughts? I believe you have some good points to share whether people will pick the book or not based on the cover.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you a little bit about how we got to the cover that we did.
I'm like,
it was interesting. So, and I'm not a very visual thinker. I'm much more obviously like verbal, like words as a writer, but Berkeley did ask me for my, you know, inspiration, like what would I want to see on the cover, and pretty early in the process. And one of the things that I said to them is like, the book feels like neon to me, in the sense that like, when I think about neon and I see a neon sign or something, it feels like exciting and a little bit like daring, and it feels like summertime. Like I just had all these connotations with the way that neon makes me feel. So I was trying to explain that to the cover designers, and I had put this person on my Pinterest board, like an inspirational Pinterest board, who does illustrations of neon. And I never expected them to like reach out to him or anything, but I didn't hear anything from the publisher for a while they're working on the design. And then they come back and they're like, oh, you remember your Pinterest board? Like, we got Vasya, who's the artist, and he's going to do the cover. So, you know, we ended up with this very, I think, very different illustration style than a lot of what you see in the rom-coms. Like, you see a lot of the really flat illustration, you know, but Vasya's work is like, almost like a painting. Like, it's very realistic. Mm-hmm. And at first I was nervous about that, mainly just because readers are so used to the flatter illustrations. I didn't know how they would receive something that was more realistic. But I will say that like, I really love it because I think that the detail work that he did allows it to convey so much more nuanced emotion in the character's portrayal. So like, when I look at the cover and I see like Josh looking at Clara, he has like longing. I can like feel the longing on his face. And when I look at her and she's like, somehow he managed to convey this, that she's like looking at the book, but she's like also very aware of Josh next to her. Mm-hmm. And I just like love that interaction is captured, at least for me, on the cover. So that was a little bit surprising, but I'm really happy with where it landed. And it's very pink. And at first I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if this is gonna send the wrong message, because it's almost like a baby pink, which I think can skew a little bit YA potentially. But then I thought about it and I realized that like, I wanted more than anything for the cover to be welcoming to readers of all kinds. And I think I came into romance through YA, and I came into it looking for pink covers in the general fiction section because that's how I knew that it was probably going to have romance. So I like that it signals that. And I think, you know, some people might say, oh, you know, this book has a lot of sex in it, like the image is too sweet. But I think, you know, obviously that I'm the author, but I think that the book is sweet. Like, it's very much about like the ways in which they love each other more than it is about the ways in which they, you know, have this physical interaction. So, I hope that people find the sweetness in the story as well as on the cover.
I love this. Yeah. I love the cover. I think you just grabbed my attention. For me, it was just like, it was different. And I think it's the neon and the pink and the way the illustrator have like worked out, like it just grabbed the attention of the reader and say like, oh, this book will be good for me. Like, this sounds like
oh good.
So yeah. So I agree. So let's talk about the intimacy experiment. You have a cover reel in this Naomi's book, which I am beyond excited because I was like fascinated by her and I was like, I need her back. So talk to us about what can we expect about this book.
Yeah, I'm so excited to share the intimacy experiment. Naomi is my favorite character that I've ever worked on. I knew when I wrote her in The Roommate that I wanted her to have her own book, but I actually thought I would have like more time before I had to get to her story because I was a little bit intimidated by her, even as her author. So when, you know, both my agent and my publisher were really pushing for her book to be the second book in the series. And so when I was trying to figure out who her love interest would be, I was just like, oh, I really just want someone who is good with a capital G, just like radiates goodness, because that's what she deserves. And then I was kind of joking when I was like, well, maybe he's a hot rabbi. But then nobody thought it was a joke. And I don't know, I actually talked about this in my newsletter, but I feel like this is exactly the inception of the story. But basically, like, when I knew I wanted to write a hot rabbi as her hero, I went to my family and I was like, hey, listen, like before I talked to anyone in publishing, I talked to my family and was like, am I going to get in trouble? Are the Jews going to turn on me if I do this? And my aunt, who's very, very religious, was like, you can't do this. Like, this is out of control. She's like, I'm emailing our rabbi. And she literally like takes out her phone and is like emailing the rabbi before I can even say anything about it. But then he came back and he was like, who are we to stand in the way of love? And then I was like, okay, well now I have to write it because the rabbi says it's fine. It's a little bit of a story that made me nervous, but I think that's good because it pushed me as a writer and I am happy about the result. So the book is about, it takes place about 2 years after The Roommate. And again, without giving away too many spoilers for The Roommate, basically, Naomi, has been working in sex education for a couple of years, and she wants to have more live teaching environments because her skill set has been primarily deployed online. Mm-hmm. And she goes to a teaching convention, and she meets this rabbi who's looking for educators to help him reach younger Jewish people and kind of bring them over to the faith. And so he hires her to teach a seminar on modern intimacy. And they end up writing this syllabus together about like, what can modern love look like? How does it intersect with our other identities? And then they end up using that syllabus to fall in love completely against their expectations. So yeah, it's really fun. It's different than The Roommate in the sense that I would say The Roommate is just like a romp. Like, it's meant to just be really fun. And the intimacy experiment is fun, but it's also like a much closer focused look at identity. And, you know, Naomi is somebody that I think a lot of people would say like, oh, she's like a badass or something. Mm-hmm. And this book is about her learning to also be soft, you know, not just be hard. And that can be a difficult journey, but it's one that I was really interested in telling a story about.
I love this. And so did you work with sensitivity reader for this book or?
Yes, absolutely. So I am Jewish, but obviously like it's not a singular experience. So I had about 3 different early Jewish readers.
Right. That sounds
cool.
And I love the fact that you talk about online business, you turn into life, you know, live classes. Like, it's so like, I don't know. I think for me, like, it just reminds me of my time in New York. It's so much about that, the classes and the whole sense of being of like, you know, how do you build a business and, you know, how do you create something and then try to turn it into multiple different income streams and, you know, and grow from it.
Yes, I think that's part of sort of like my author brand, I think, is like, I realize I keep making them have businesses, like I must be very like financially minded or something, but I don't know, I think that's interesting, the idea that you can take something that you're really passionate, obviously as a writer I've done that, like take something you're really passionate about and then find a way to make it a part of your career.
Yes, I love this. So is The Roommate and The Intimacy Experiment are going to be a series or trilogy, or is just 2 books?
Right now it's like a duology. But yeah, I'd be open to doing more books in the series. So we'll see how everyone responds.
That's good. Yeah. We're all looking forward to both books coming out. So awesome. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. It's an opportunity to share with the audience what the show right next. What is your favorite genre?
Romance is definitely my favorite genre. Like, I would say 95% of all books that I read are romance.
And so what has been a book that you read this past year that you love? Or you can say a couple books if you want.
You know, I was thinking about this, and it's been, I've, like so many people, I've just struggled so hard to read lately. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been hard. So I did go back to some like older favorites. So these aren't necessarily like brand new books, although I guess I will mention one upcoming book, which is actually not a romance, although I would say it has romantic elements in it. I have to recommend Haley Sutton's debut. It's actually a noir, like an LA noir thriller. But it's really different because it has like a queer feminist lead, and it's just super interesting. Check it out. It's called The Lady Upstairs. It comes out in November. So that's my new book you can look out for. But in terms of some old favorites, I wanted to recommend C.S. Pact to anybody who hasn't read her series. It's so good. Oh my God, I'm so excited to talk to you about it now. Now that you're shaking your head, you haven't read it. So the first book is called Captive Prince. And this series is not going to be for everyone, but it is so much for me that I like scream when I think about it. It's like true enemies to lovers. So I think like some people say they want enemies to lovers, but they really just want like vague misunderstanding to lovers. This book, they are enemies. Like it's about two princes from warring kingdoms, and one prince killed the beloved brother of the other prince. So they really start out as enemies. And yeah, the prince who lost his brother ends up receiving the original prince as his like captive. So it's so good. It's a series of three books with the same couple across all three, which like normally would not be something that I necessarily go for. But in this case, I just think of it as like an epic extended love story. And I mean, it's incredible. It's like, it kind of feels like Game of Thrones in the sense that it has like really epic world building and surprising and a beautiful journey from enemies to lovers. So I have to recommend that.
I'm so excited. Now I'm excited to read this.
Yes, check it out. It's so good.
I'm going to buy it now. So tell us where you can find you online.
I am at Rosie Dannon, pretty much on any social media. I have a Facebook, but I never use it. So the best way to connect with me is on Twitter or Instagram. Or if you want to learn a little bit more about me or my upcoming projects, you can go to my website, which is rosiedannon.com. And I have a newsletter called Rosie Rambles that you can sign up for through the website. And that's where you can hear anecdotes about my rabbi, as well as updates on, you know, book projects and all of that good stuff.
Thank you, Rosie, for being in the show.
Yes, thank you so much. This was lovely.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.